in Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin to read. We'll read three verses and begin to read in verse 19. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for coming by, Lord, in the special singing. Lord, I pray some folk got some help. Even if they didn't come to altar, I pray that they have let you have their burdens, because you said casting all you care upon you, for you care for us. And Lord, I pray today that you just touch and help us now for a little while we might preach. Lord, we don't want to say nothing out of the way that don't need to be said today. But Lord, we want this message to help us and help your people. And if there's one here lost, save them. And Lord, I'm so grateful today to be saved and have joy in my heart and know what it means to be headed for heaven. No doubt about it. And Lord, I thank you for that today. Would you help the one that might be lost to get saved? Help the one that still might be carrying their burden with them. And Lord, let them give it to you today. We love you and we thank you for all that you've done. Touch us and anoint us afresh, Lord, for we certainly need you and need your help this morning. Save somebody that's lost and that one that's near his tail for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm excited to be here today. Amen. I tell you, after that was just a blessing. I about go home and say it's been a joy and that to be in the house of God. Matthew chapter 6, I begin to wonder, let's do something this morning. I feel so impressed to do this. I want you to bow your head for just a second. Everybody across the house, bow your head. And listen, if you didn't come to this altar while the singing was going on and you needed to, now's your opportunity. If you need to come and give your burdens to the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever it may be, I feel so impressed to do this. I want you to come. We're going to be real still. We're going to be real quiet. If nobody comes, I'm going to preach, okay? So if you need to come, I want you to come. All right, I believe that'll be sufficient this morning. Nobody's come, so I pray and hope that you've done business with God today. And listen, I want to give you all the time that you can. But here in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord begins to deal with treasure. And the word treasure simply means accumulated wealth. Or it means a great quantity of anything accumulated for future use. Let me say today, there's a lot of people that's got a wealth and that of toilet paper, paper towels, and hand sanitizer right now, because they're accumulating it for future use. Amen. Hey, we went to Costco the other day and we went to buy things that we needed. Our house was out. We didn't have them. And man, I'm telling you, they were out of some things where everybody had been buying, getting ready for this coronavirus. But listen, the word treasure also means a great abundance or something of much value. Now, I preached not too long ago of some things that are precious to you and some things that we like to keep and would like to have. But when he begins to talk here in verse 19, I honestly believe that he is talking about a treasure and that of tangible goods and that of tangible items. He said, because the thief can break through and steal. When I begin to read verse 20, I don't know why I hadn't seen it before now. As I read this today, I was just about to get excited. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, whether neither moth nor rust is corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. One of the things that I've got laid up over there is my soul. I know it's here with me now, but the promise of eternal life and that rest in Christ, and there's nothing can steal that. There's nothing can rob that. There's nothing that can decay that. Listen, everything that we have down here, listen, can be taken away. I can be robbed. I will fade away and rust away. But thank God the things that we've got in heaven, I can never be taken from us. They're mine because they're kept and that by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm trusting him today to keep me in everything that I've got over there. But listen, while we're down here, now listen, don't let me, and that, listen, if God's blessed you with things and stuff this morning, and as long as stuff don't have you, it's okay. It's okay to have stuff and have things as long as it don't have you. But there's a lot of people that's got land and property and houses and automobiles and money and all that stuff has them. Hey, listen, I don't want it to have me. I wouldn't mind having some of it, but I don't want it to have me. And he says the layup on the other side. But then he makes a statement in verse 21, and here's where we want to preach at. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so I begin to consider and that our treasure, and he said it is something of much value. And so I want to ask us a question today, and there's going to be a lot of questions I ask in this message of what's important to you. What is important? Because whatever is important, whatever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be at. You know why a lot of folk ain't in church this morning? Because their heart ain't here. Listen, you know why I got up and come here this morning? My heart's here. And I'll deal with that here in a minute. Listen, just let me deal with it now. Let me say that first of all, so some things that should be important to you. And I know it's Sunday morning. And I know that you're here now. And I'm so glad that you're here. But he's spending time at church. And you know that ought to be important to you. You say, well, preacher, just, you know, it shouldn't be an afterthought. It shouldn't be something to say, well, we get up this morning and we ain't got nothing else to do. We ain't got nowhere else to go. So I guess we'll go to church. Do you know that everything that me and my wife does, and you don't have to be like me and my wife, but I think God would want you to be like this, is everything we do revolves around church. I mean, it was that. I know I've told you all this. I'm probably going to tell you nothing new that you don't already know. But listen, it's been that way before I started pastoring. I mean, whether it was something that we were doing on Thursday night or Friday night or Monday. Listen, if somebody said, hey, do you want to go do this? I would have to say, well, let's make sure that we ain't doing nothing at the church first. I think church ought to come first. I'll be honest with you. Because in the church is where we do worship. In the church is where we do fellowship. David said in Psalms 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. How many of you got up this morning and said, hey, it's Sunday. I've lost an hour of sleep and we can still go to church. Amen. Wasn't it exciting to be able to get up this morning and have the health? And that to get up and get in your vehicle and come down here, and I mean, and just sit here on the pew while the music played and she signed to that song. Wasn't that a blessing today? Imagine if you'd have been at home, you would have missed that. Ain't that something? It's been a blessing. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why was he glad when he said that? Hey, listen, when we come to the house of the Lord, that's when we come to worship and to fellowship and praise the Lord. He said, I can do all that at home, can you? Would you? Let me ask yourself right here, Hebrews chapter 10 said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're to come together and worship the Lord. When's the last time you worshiped the Lord? When's the last time you worshiped? I'm talking about where you just, I mean, you fell down before him and realized who he was. Worship and praise is different, but I mean, you just worshiped him. I mean, you're just glad to be in his presence. I mean, just tell him, Lord, I'm just glad to be here. I'm just glad you are who you are. I'm glad to be saved. I couldn't have done it, but you did. When's the last time that you found you an altar of prayer and gathered up around and said, Lord, I ain't got no needs. I ain't got no burdens. I just want to come and talk to you and thank you for it all today. Hey, listen, that's worship. When we get in our place and we got him in his head, we can begin to worship him. But when he gets lifted up, when's the last time you lifted him up? I believe some of y'all done that this morning while the singing was going on. You lifted him
Boy, I'm talking about casting your care upon Him because He can handle it. I'm just so glad and that to get to come and worship Him. I realize that He is the Maker. He's my Maker. But He's not only my Maker, but He's my Savior. And He saved me and He keeps me. And He's mine and I'm His. And hey, I can reach out and claim onto the promises and that of God and look up to heaven and shout the glory and shout the victory most days and say, Lord, I'm glad you are who you are and where you're at watching and that over me. Don't that excite you today? There's a God in heaven watching over you today. Don't you just love to come and spend time at church though? Come and worship Him. Come and praise Him. Huh? And that's what we should have been doing in the choir today, is praising Him. First song we started out with this morning, Living by Faith, before Sunday school. I love that old song. Because that's how we live. Well, listen, we come and we praise Him. That when we live by faith and that trust that Brother Jeff talked about in Sunday school, we get in that. You know, it's one thing to trust and trust and trust and trust and trust. But then we see that trust come to fruition. We see that we trusted and God made a way. Don't that make you want to trust again? If I was living on blind faith, I'm not sure that I'd be able to do it. But you know what? Every now and again we get to see our faith come to fruition, don't we? We've trusted and we've trusted and God come to pass. Ain't that something today? But listen, we come in and we ought to praise Him and that for those times when He comes through. Do you know that He's worthy of praise no matter what? I think you all know that today. He's worthy and that of praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, some of my most favorite scripture in the Old Testament. Listen, after we all know the story of King Jehoshaphat and all those companies was coming against him and was going to whip him in Judah. And just as sure if God didn't intervene and he got out there and the preacher preached and the Bible said they got down on their knees and they worshiped God. And when they got done worshiping, the Bible said that they stood up and began to praise the Lord. And the Bible said, and when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You know how to defeat the devil sometimes, and how to just get him to leave you alone, and how to get through life, just begin to praise the Lord. Just begin to praise Him. Say, Lord, I want to lift my hand up to you today and thank you for your wonderful mercy and your grace. I just want to praise you for coming through. I want to praise you and that for who you are. I want to praise you that you ain't took care of it yet, but I know you're going to take care of it. I am just trusting you, but I want to praise you. And then begin to sing. When's the last time you ever just by yourself begin to sing? Just sing. I mean, just I love that old song we sang. It's called Living by Faith. Just sing. And listen, I'm going to be honest with you. When you're living with burdens in your life, page 162 is awful hard to sing sometimes. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. Well, I'm telling you, when you're down, it's awful hard because you do care. I've had to sing that song with burdens in my heart before, and I'm thinking, man, this song's making me lie. I mean, I must be honest with you. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. And then I'm standing up here, sitting down there and singing that, and worried to death about what's going to happen. And all we need to do is praise Him. All we need to do is, but talking about coming to church. We come to church and that to worship. We come to church and that to praise. Listen, Sister Jennifer was right. We come in here burdened down. We come in here with our mind in all kinds of places. This place is not important enough to us to worship God who we've come here for in the first place. And to praise Him. I'm not wanting to beat up on you this morning. I'm just wanting you to see when we come, this place, spending time here ought to be important to you.
I mean, it ought to be important that your children come to church. It ought to be important to you that your children get to see you worship and praise the Lord, and your grandchildren, and all these things that they see this. We're missing that today. We've got generations of folk that don't understand or don't know anything about church because it never was important to mom and dad. And I tell you, if it ain't important to you, it will not be important to your children. It needs to be important to you because you love the Lord. But listen, you're setting an example for your children. You need to do that. We come not only in that to praise and worship, but we come to fellowship. Listen, don't you just love to fellowship when God comes by and just squeezes on your heart? I was sitting there, and man, I was arguing with God while she was just about to finish that song. And I'm like, Lord, we've done played that. They've done seen that. And he said, no, I just give opportunity for folk to come. I'm telling you what, I still love it when God squeezes on my heart and begins to talk to me. I know that he can deal with me. He can still use me. I'm in a place where God can do something with me when I'm like that. I want him to talk to me. Don't you want him to talk to you? I love it when he squeezes on my heart. You know, he gets to squeezing enough, he'll squeeze the water out of my eyes every now and again. Ever do you like that? Get on your heart and just squeeze hard enough that you begin to cry a little bit. Ain't nothing wrong with crying. Man, I'm telling you, if you ain't right with God, you can come and you can cry bitter tears and get right with him. And they can be tears of joy, but I love it. When he comes by and just squeezes on me, and joy just comes out of me in the form of tears. I'm telling you, I love to be able to fellowship and that with the Lord, and that's what we come for. We come, and not only that, but fellowship one with another. As iron sharpeneth iron, so does the countenance of his friends. Do you know you got a place? You've got a place where you're sitting. I look out across the house right now, and most of you all sit in the same place every time you come to church. And we'll just call that your place. Do you know that I've sat on this corner since I come here to pastor? The first day that I come here on a Wednesday night, I believe it was Wednesday night, wasn't it, Brother Jeff? Because I believe I'd been in Tuscaloosa, Alabama that Sunday. And I've been preaching down there that Sunday and come up here on Wednesday. And when I come in, I just sit down right there. And that's where I've been ever since. That's my spot. Now, I don't get too tore up. I said too tore up. I didn't say I didn't get tore up. I said too tore up if somebody gets my place. Amen. You know what? It would tickle me to death if we filled the house up and somebody got my place. That'd be all right. I'll sit in the choir. I don't mind, you know. But listen, we've all got a place. You know that you being in your place helps me. When I look out across the street, you say, well, you shouldn't. You know, you shouldn't be worried. Hey, listen, it does help me to see you here. You know, you say, well, you're counting numbers and counting people. Well, sure I am. You know, it's awful hard to have church without people. I mean, come on, let's just be honest about things this morning. You have a place. You need to be in your place. And not only does it help me, but it helps your neighbor that's sitting around. Say, man, they're in church this morning. It's so good to see them. Don't you just love to see people? Don't you just love to see it? I love it sometimes when folk get excited in the Lord. You know why? Because it rubs off on me every now and again. I preached on that not too long ago. If you used to get excited, it's liable to run off on somebody else. Amen. And they might get excited. But we spend time in church to fellowship one with another, to love each other, and to love on one another. We come to learn of him, don't we? We come to not only praise him and worship him and fellowship with him, but we come to learn of him. You know, we call it a worship service. Brother Ralph, he always makes a good statement on this. He says, we call it a worship service, but sometimes it's just a teaching and a preaching service. And we just come to learn. I mean, that's what it is. And that's why we have Sunday school, so that you can learn about him and learn how to live for him and what he wants out of us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know why you raise them young'uns in Sunday school? Well, first of all, so that they can get saved early in life. That's why you raise them in Sunday school. That's why you want to have them in Sunday school. So that listen, as I studied this message and I was saying about Sunday school, I thought about all those ladies and those men that taught us in Sunday school while I was growing up. And I didn't say till I was 14. But listen, I still remember some of those lessons and some of those things that those ladies taught us in Sunday school. I mean, I was all boy. I was rowdy.
And it's a wonder that they could teach me anything. But listen, I still carry that stuff in my mind today. You never know, teachers, who's going to be sitting in your Sunday school class. You never know that God might make a preacher out of one of them boys. It might make a preacher's wife, or might make a missionary out of these girls. You just never know. And listen, even if he don't make a preacher or a missionary or a preacher's wife or missionary's wife out of them, they still need the Word of God and that to live for him. But you just never know. It's important to get them here, though. Important. Listen, we come to learn of him. I'll be honest with you. Until I got saved, I really didn't like church. Until I got saved, I didn't like church. It was hard to come to church. It really was. Some of you all come this morning because you was made to come. You was made to come, or you felt bad if you didn't come. Maybe your wife wanted to come, or your husband wanted to come, or your mom and dad made you come, or for whatever reason you come, but you didn't come. And after fellowship with him and learn of him and praise him, you just come because you's made to come. Do you know when I got saved, this one way I know I got saved when I did. Man, everything changed. I fell in love with church. I mean, I did. I'll be honest with you, it was like pulling teeth. I mean, to get me to go until I got saved. And when I got saved, when I began to drive my own self to church, I was the first in there a lot of times. I loved it. Still love it today. I bear burdens and carry loads more than what I've ever carried in my whole life, but I still love church. I still love what I do. I still love pastoring. I mean, it's just something in, you know, the Bible said if a man desire the office of a bishop, I still desire it. I still love it. I still like doing it. No matter how hard it gets sometimes, I still love the church. Amen. How much do you like spending time? I'm talking about what's important to you. Where's your priorities at? What is important? We come in that to learn about him, to spend time at church. But then let me say this, what's important to us? We spend time at church, but then how about the spiritual welfare of you and your family? Is that important to you this morning? Is the spiritual welfare, you know, we worry about everything else, you know. Are our kids getting a good education? Are they well-rounded? Are they athletic? Are they? Do they play? Listen, I ain't got nothing wrong with them playing ball. I ain't got nothing wrong with that. So as long as it don't get in the way of serving God, I ain't got a problem with it. Yeah, but listen, a lot of people, they sell out their kids and sell themselves out on Sundays and Wednesdays and have to go play ball. And what you could be giving them was something that's going to last eternity. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a good chance your children ain't going to play ball the rest of their life. Let me put my glasses on. Did you hear me? I said there is a good chance that your kids are not going to play ball or sports the rest of their life. A lot of people have got it in their mind that their children are, don't tell you children are the greatest. You encourage them. Maybe they will be the greatest in the sport one day. I don't know. But man, you better give them Jesus. Because that's what's going to last them the rest of their life. Not that baseball bat, not that bouncing ball, not the pigskin. What's going to last them the rest of their life is that you raised them in church and taught them to love Jesus and got them saved at an early age out of where they know how to fight the devil, where they know how to say no and that to sin. You know, most homes in America they're messed up. Most families are so messed up. Their ideology and what's important to them is turned upside down. It's totally opposite of what it should be. And listen, he said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You'll sell out to that thing. If your treasure is wrapped up in your kids and sports or whatever it may be, your heart will be there. You're going to miss everything. I'm talking about being real. I'm not talking about, you ever just run into people, they put on an air of Christianity. But I'm talking about being real. I'm talking about doing it. I'm talking about reading your Bible because you desire to read your Bible. Not because the preacher beat you over the head with it this morning and made you feel bad. And then you go home and you struggle to read your Bible. Listen, I know it's hard to read sometimes. I know that most of you all are busy. Okay? I understand that. I mean, you got a job. You're raising a family. You're doing everything that you can do. But I'm going to be honest with you. You ought to work some time in for the Lord somewhere in the middle of the day. I mean, to read His Word, take some time and that to read His book and listen to, get it into your children. Let me ask you something. How much Bible's in your house? Y'all know what the old saying is, you know, when the preacher come by to visit with the family, and as they began to talk about the Bible, he needed one. He didn't have one with him. And so the mama told the son, said, "Son, go in there and get that book that me and your daddy read every night before we go to bed." And he comes back with the Sears and Roebuck catalog. How much Bible? How much Bible? I'm not wanting to beat up on you, okay? But what I'm trying to tell you, your life will go a whole lot better, man, if you'll just invest time in this book. The one thing that it took me forever till I was in my early 20s, and my pastor was the one that done this. Man, he just kept saying over and over and over again, was to fall in love with that book and the God of that book. If you'll fall in love with them, man, it'll help you so much. I ain't never forgot that. And it really wasn't until my early 20s that I began to take this book serious. And for what it says. How to run your home. I mean, it'll guide your home. I mean, listen, it will. It'll teach you how to raise children. It'll tell you how to do it. I mean, it'll give you exactly what you need. How much spiritual attendance do you give to your children? How much praying do we do? Now, the great thing about praying is you can do that while you're driving down the road as long as you don't close your eyes. Amen. And if you can close your eyes every now and again as long as you're on straightaway. Don't do that, okay? That's a little funny. But how much praying do we do? You know, the Lord does like to hear from us. Now, I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about what is important to us. I'm talking about your spiritual welfare. Your spiritual welfare. We need to read, but we need to pray. You say, this stuff is simple. You preach on it all the time. I know that I do, but listen, where's our treasure at? What is important to us? You need to learn to pray. You know, if you back up just a few verses out of this chapter, he is teaching his disciples and that how to pray. I mean, they come over there to him at one point and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples how to pray. And he said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So he tells them, look, get along with God and begin to pray. Spend some time along with him. Your brother, Miss Tricia, Red, would talk about your daddy. Said he had a rock out there in the woods that he'd go pray at. Get out there and pray. Just get along and go pray. I'm not telling you got to spend a long time, but I will say this, when you get to praying, it can take a while. But it don't have to all the time. I know that. I'm saying just spend some time alone with God. How spiritual are we? What do you mean how spiritual? Whether I shout or cry, no, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your spiritual welfare. He said, you know, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. How much is that is in us? That love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering. Huh? You know, we can have love, joy, and peace, but we struggle with long suffering, don't we, sometimes? Am I doing okay this morning? All right. I'm gonna be like Brother Ralph. Are we okay? Listen, what's important to us this morning? I'm asking you, what's important?
Listen, what is the value of raising your children in church and giving them the book and teaching them how to pray? Because you know these things. You have experienced these things. See, it's one thing for you to tell them you need to pray. Or you pray over your meal. And that's, you know, is that the only prayer that's prayed in your house? You say, I'm just not that spiritual. Why not? Me and my wife pray together sometime. And you know, the first couple of times that we prayed together, it was a little awkward. You know why it's a little awkward sometimes when you sit down to have devotions with your wife and your children? Men, listen, you know why? Because they know you. They live with you. They've seen you get mad. Right? See, that's why it's a little hard to witness the family sometimes. Because they know what you are. They know who you are. They've seen you in your worst shape. But see, that's the great thing about Jesus. They've seen you in your worst shape, but they can also see you in your best shape too. Start with them easy things. If I was thinking about this, you said, well, I'm not a Bible scholar. Well, then start with them easy things. Go over there and teach the young ones and have devotions on David and Goliath. That's an easy one. That's a fun one, as a matter of fact. I mean, man, you get to see the Lord do something great over there. I mean, he lines up a sling in a 17, 18-year-old boy. He's got a sling, and he's going out there to face a giant that is almost as tall as this ceiling, and he has one rock and one sling, and he's running to him, and he slings it, and he turns it loose, and he hits him in the one spot that he ain't got covered. Right there. That's a fun story to talk about. Go over there with Daniel. Go over there with Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Go over there with them and tell. Start out with them stories. It'd be okay. And then you begin to grow and study. You say, man, I've got to put in all this work to do this stuff. What are you going to do? I've only got them for a little while. Sunday school teachers only got them for 45, 50 minutes at the best every week. What about this? I'm asking you what's important this morning. Is spending time here in the church important? Is the spiritual welfare of you and your family? How about your welfare? I didn't even really talk about that. How about your spiritual welfare? How are you with God this morning? I hope you're right with the Lord. What are you concerned with? What's important? I love the scripture, and it's truth. I love the truth of Scripture. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. I love this book. I love it. Is it important to you? You say you've already talked. Is this book important to you? Is it a treasure to you? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I love it. I love it because I know that it won't lie to me. There are times that I may not understand it. And I may not be able to grasp everything that it's trying to tell me, but I know that it's telling me the truth. You ever read it and wish that it hadn't said what it said? I have. Man, I've had to get right a few times that I've been reading this book. I kid you not, I remember one time, and I told y'all a story, and I'll tell it again in case you didn't hear it the first time. Man, I remember mowing the yard, cutting up my leaves back in the fall time, and I was aggravated with some people, and I was justifying being aggravated with them. You ever done that? You justify yourself. Well, they done this, this, and this, and this, and I can be justified because they done this, 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 and this. And then I sat down to study later that evening and the next day, and out of the book of 1 Peter, I come across that scripture up there that tells us to have compassion on people. And man, you talking about the Lord just drilling a hole in a feller's heart. I wanted to be mad. I wanted to be mad. I wanted to justify why I was angry at these people over here. They were angry at me. I wanted to be angry at them. You ever been that way? I mean, let's just be honest about some things. Do you know that I'm in the same flesh that you're in? Do you know that? I get angry too. I get mad too. I get hurt too. I mess up too.
But you know, the one thing about it is, I come across that scripture where he talked about having compassion. And man, the Lord just worked on my heart. Some of you don't read it because the Lord does work on your heart. You don't have nothing to do with it. You can trust the Word of God, though. I'm glad. This is a treasure to me. This book that I hold in my hand, this is a treasure. If you knew how we got the King James Bible and what everybody went through to make sure that we have it today, it would amaze you, and you'd be more in love with the Word of God, that people fought and died to make sure that me and you have this book. We talk about having freedom in this country because people fought and died. There was people down through the ages fought and died to make sure that me and you have this book in front of us. That's what's amazing today. Let me ask you this. Without this book, how would you have known how to got saved? They had to be a preacher somewhere. Stand up and ride her back and hold that book up and begin to tell you how to get saved. There was a mama somewhere that took the scripture out of Romans chapter 10 and showed their child how to get saved. There was a Sunday school teacher sat in a Sunday school class of a bunch of rowdy boys and girls and tried her best or his best to tell them how to get saved by what 1 Corinthians 15 had to say, or Acts chapter 16. When that Philippian jailer came out there and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." You know why I know I got saved? Because this book said if I'd come to him and ask him, he'd do it. This book, the words out of this book is what I'm putting my faith in. I put it in Jesus Christ. But listen, I'm putting my faith in what this book says is the truth. You say, well, it's messed up over here and it's messed up here. Man, if you can find any fallibility at all in this book, we might as well just close it up and go home. Because how do you know if one part's fallible and the other part's infallible? Well, what happens if the part that he said, "Come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest"? What happens if that part's fallible? What if it's wrong? I mean, I know it ain't wrong. How do you know it ain't wrong? One, I've tried it. I mean, I've done exactly what he said. I come to him and tried him. I found out that he was true and that he was real and that he does take your burdens. I'm glad salvation does have a burden lifting to it. Yeah, some of you can still remember what it's like to be lost and the burdens that was on you. Just like what Miss Jennifer talked about. Stay with me. I'm just about done. I'm talking about what's important to you. Is the scripture and its truth important to you? You know, it was this book that after I got saved and after I really fell in love with God and the Lord Jesus Christ and this book that I learned how to live. You know, I had to grow in grace and knowledge. Had to grow. That bothered me, Hunter, for a little while. It didn't. I think I've told you all this. That bothered me. And I mean, after I got saved and matured, and I hope I mature, and one day, I don't know if Satan used it against me or what was going on, but I'm like, "Lord, why did I struggle back here with this stuff? And why couldn't I turn it loose and let it go and all this stuff?" And man, it's just, it had no more that I'd asked heaven that. And he just hit me on the head and was over in 1 Peter chapter 2 where he talks about, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." And the Lord simply just spoke to my heart and said, "You had to grow in some things once you got saved." You know, if you don't know better about some things, you just don't know no better. You don't know the whole book when you get saved. I still don't know the whole book. I'm still growing, still learning. But it taught us how to live, taught me how to be separated. I come across Romans 12. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I learned how to be separated out of this world. I love it. I love it. I learned how to love my neighbor. I learned how to love God. I learned how to love the church. I learned how to love one another. because of this book. Love it. How much do we love God and His book? I hope you love it today. I hope it's important to you. Just a few things of what's important. Where's your treasure at? Because let me say this. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be at. If your treasure's at the ball field, that's where you'll be at. If it's wrapped up in Hollywood, that's where you'll be at. But if it's wrapped up in the things of God, that's where you'll be at today. Let's bow our heads across the house. Get some music. Listen, if you need to come and pray this morning, if God spoke to your heart, if you need to come and get closer, if you need to come and pray, whatever it may be, listen, I want you to come. I'm asking you, what's important to you? Where's your priorities? What is your priorities in serving? Do you have priorities in serving the Lord today? What are they? Are you serving Him? You certainly can today. If you want to come draw close and get right, you can. While the music plays, listen, if you need to come and pray, I want you to come. You might be wrapped up in this world and unsaved today, never have trusted Christ. Without Him, you'll never make it to heaven. Without Him, you'll never be happy.